Well, this morning I want to talk about something that God has called his people to time and time again. We read about it in the Old Testament. We read about it in the New Testament. I want to talk about teaching the next generation. And this has particular relevance, of course, to parents and to grandparents, but it certainly has relevance as well to other people, whether that be Sunday school teachers or kids club leaders or to youth sponsors. And furthermore, the teaching of the next generation is not something that is specific either to parents, but it is also a calling that God has placed upon any of us that are involved in discipling another individual in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking really about making an investment in the lives of those younger or newer to the faith that they might grow up into Christ. Now, our primary scripture this morning is going to be from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and from Exodus chapter 13. And I want to make several key points out of this. Those of you that are note takers, there is a sermon note sheet. Don't worry about it if that's not your thing. But I want to call our attention to the matter of teaching by talking about God's word, by answering questions, and by sharing our testimony. So, first of all, there is the opportunity to teach by talking about God's word. And I'm opening the Bible now to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So, if you're a parent here today, what kind of goals do you have for your kids? Do you want them to be successful? Is it your goal to have the next generation make the most money possible, live in the nicest house possible, get the most recognition possible, get the highest education possible, win the biggest trophy possible? Some years ago, I found myself in Chicago at a pastor's conference at the Moody Bible Institute, and there were a number of speakers there at that particular conference, but the one I especially remembered was a man by the name of Tim Kimmel. He had just released a book, which I had brought back memories here, because I had actually written an endorsement for his book it's called Raising Kids for True Greatness, Redefine Success for You and Your Child. I did put that at the bottom of your sermon note sheet because I do think it's an excellent resource for parents. Think about it. If we define success only in terms of the American dream, we are going to miss out on what is to be the essence of our lives and what is to be first and foremost in the lives of our children. Why is that? According to verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So is love for God what defines you and I? Is that what defines us? Is love for the Lord what you are seeking to pass along to the next generation? Now, it was really interesting because in the sports section of last Tuesday's U.S. Today was this. Now, I don't know how many of you can see. Some of you are squinting because you're wondering who this Mets player is that is pictured here. And the large print headline is, Tim Tebow won't be defined by baseball. The smaller print right underneath, his relentless big picture view transcends athletic career. Now, I just want to share one quote here from Tim's Tim Tebow now. I'm moving away from Tim Kimmel to Tim Tebow, but one quote from this article. He said, I feel like one of the biggest tragedies in life is when you look back and you were successful at something that really doesn't matter. And I don't want to do that. I want to go after things that really matter. One of the things that really matters is for parents to communicate to their children what the Lord has said, what He has called us to, what His Word is really teaching. Verses 6 and 7, these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them. And I find it interesting that word, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And I think it's striking as we think about it that talking in this kind of fashion can happen at times other than formal times, like whether you have family devotions or whatever. But it can happen when you're doing the dishes. When you're doing a project outdoors. When you're eating a meal together. While you're riding in the car. While you're going for a walk. I mean, these conversations can happen practically any place, any time that one is together as a family. So if you're a parent, then God has called you to teach your children about the Lord and to teach them about the things that the Lord has commanded His people. He has called you to pass along the precepts found in Scripture. And so the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, which verse is it? Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and in the admonition of the Lord. Yes, it's good to teach children practical things, whether it's cooking, whether it's doing repairs, whether it's changing a flat tire, whether it's whatever, balancing a checkbook and on. But it's even more important to teach spiritual truths and precepts. We're talking about raising kids for true greatness. Well, we teach by talking about God's Word. Secondly, we teach by answering questions. And I'd like now to continue in Deuteronomy 6, but looking at verses 20 to 24. Deuteronomy 6, verse 20. When your son asks you, and of course it could be your daughter, but when your son asks you in time to come saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. And then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Actually, verse 25 says, it will be righteousness then for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. So, I read someplace that curious children ask around 73 questions a day. Some of you are saying, been there, done that. 73 questions a day. And some of the questions can be quite interesting, like, why don't fish have eyebrows? When I turn 4, what happens to my 3? Why do I have 2 eyes if I only see 1 thing? Where does the circle end? And how did people make the first tools if they didn't have any tools? Well, we could keep right on going with these questions, couldn't we? And some of you could sit down and write a book. But none of us has answers to all the questions that come our way. You know, when Kathy was in school, and there would be times she would ask questions that I didn't have the answer for. So what did I say oftentimes? Why don't you look that up in the encyclopedia? Okay, this was a few years ago, you know, before the easy Google access. And so we had a set of World Book encyclopedias there in the den. And so I said, it's a good resource. Why don't you look this up and check it out and so forth? While we may not be able to give full-fledged answers to 73 questions a day, and we may not know the answer to certain queries, we ought not to be dodging, though, questions related to faith, the faith of our Lord, and the living out of our Christian convictions. Notice again verses 20 and 21 here in the scripture I just read. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning? What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out with a mighty hand. If you're living for the Lord, then it's a given that there are going to be questions about those very kind of things. Those questions, by the way, may come from people outside the family or from people outside the church. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The MSG puts it like this: through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ, and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, and with the utmost courtesy. So there are times when at our monthly breakfast buffet here at the church, there are times when there are people that come here to eat will ask a question about where we're at regarding something in our church, or what do we believe, or what do we teach, or whatever. And these are opportunities to give an answer to questions that people may be asking. What the text we're looking at here in Deuteronomy 6 is talking about, though, is parents taking advantage of opportunities when there are questions that are being asked by their children. The example cited gave opportunity to talk about how God had worked in wondrous ways, how he had been moving, delivering them from bondage. It was a great opportunity to talk about the meaning of all this. Notice again the answer here that was given in verses 21 to 23. Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed us signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. And then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. Now, these days, the question may not have to do regarding, let's say, the Passover, for example. But there may be questions about all sorts of other things. And as parents, we have an opportunity, or as grandparents, to explain what the significance or the meaning is of the ordinances of the church, or why we practice certain things, or why we don't do certain things, or whatever the case might be related to the Christian faith and to the scriptures. We might be able to share what our understanding is of what the Bible says at a particular point or regarding a particular matter. So, we teach by talking about God's word. That's often done just informally. We teach by answering questions. Thirdly, we teach the next generation by sharing our personal testimony. I'm turning now to Exodus chapter 13. And there in verses 5 to 8, it's the passage I want us to reflect on. Exodus 13, verse 5. And I'm trying, in case you're wondering why I keep moving back and forth, I do have new lenses in my glasses, and I'm trying to find the right spot for the 2.75 readers, unless I... verse 5. It shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. That phrase that I just read, I hope you will highlight, if not literally underline it in your Bible or whatever you're using, but at least make note of it in your mind. This is done because of what the Lord did for me. You know, one of the observances for the Jews was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you know, this wasn't a wacky thing, you know, like Groundhog Day, or even a fun thing like National Pie Day, or some other day that, you know, I think about every day of the year is a national something or other anymore. It wasn't just a some meaningful day or for them as an individual family. This was to be a time of remembering what the Lord had done. So it's put in verse 3 of this chapter, backing up just a bit to verse 3. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it. I'm sorry. I need to get to Exodus 13. Okay, Moses said to the people, remember this day, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt by the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. The key word, remember. Christians, believers like you and I, have experienced certain things in our journey, in our walk with the Lord, that we ought to be remembering. I remember, for example, the Sunday when after the worship service at Northside Mennonite Community Chapel in Omaha, Nebraska, that I met with Pastor Morris in the little room behind the pulpit area. Why do I remember and think back to that particular time and that particular place? Because it was then when I was talking to Morris, and it was then when I knelt down before the Lord and I confessed my sin and my sinfulness before the Lord. I trusted Christ as my Savior and invited Him to come in to my life and to take control and to take over. And it was from then that I experienced a peace, an inner peace that I hadn't had before. And a joy that, you know, I was singing and whistling as I was driving up and down the road. So as I opened my life to the Lord, He worked in a wonderful way. And if you're a believer, then you too have things that you experienced. You have a personal testimony to share, to tell your children or your grandchildren, and in some cases it's going to be or is great-grandchildren. We're to remember the significant things that God did. And it's not just for personal reflection. It's not just to bless us and to encourage us regarding God's faithfulness, as significant as that is. And that's one reason for reflecting and remembering, and it gives us encouragement for the future and hope for the future. But it's also that it might be a testimony to the next generation. So, verse 8 said, "You shall teach your son in that day, saying, 'This is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.'" Now, sometimes we share testimonies of other people. We share an account we read in Guidepost magazine. We share an account that we ran across on some internet blog. We share something we watched on YouTube. And these are all good and fine. You know, praise God for those testimonies, and we have access to them and we can share them. But what our scripture this morning is calling us to, though, is to share with the next generation what the Lord has done for us. Amen. What He did for me. It's a call to make use of personal testimony. For example, at some point, and I'm not sure when Ailey and Michaela will be old enough to grasp this, but at some point, I want to relate to my granddaughters. I want them to hear the amazing story of how God balanced the books, if you will, when I was still in banking. And I want to tell them exactly what happened as I prepared for and then went on that two-week missions trip to Ecuador, and how it affected me when I came back and I added up the numbers, the contributions that were given me, even though I had never asked for money for this trip, and the amount of expenses there were, and how I was moved to tears as I realized that those two columns were exactly the same. $1,174 is what it cost me. $1,174 were the contributions that had been given to me by people as they had found out about my trip. At that point, I recognized that that was something that needed to become a part of my life story. That is a personal testimony. It's not something I read in Guidebooks magazine. It's something that I experienced by the grace of God. He was at work in my life. And He has been many times in many ways. What has the Lord done for you? What are the things that you ought to be sharing with the next generation? Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make His deeds known among the peoples, sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works." Some of you don't think that you have much to offer. But I know better than that. Because if you know the Lord, then, and you say something, share something that the Lord has done for you, that testimony becomes a powerful witness. How can we pass along the faith to the next generation? Well, we teach by talking about the Lord or the scriptures. We teach by answering questions, and we teach by sharing personal testimony. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing works and your wonderful ways. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of being your sons and daughters, of being recipients of your grace, of being able to walk with you and to see you do incredible things in our midst and in our lives. Help us to be good stewards, Lord, of your word and of that which we have experienced in our journey with you. And we pray that the next generation would indeed catch the vision as your spirit is at work, your word is proclaimed, and as we share what a mighty God you are. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.